Hello, everybody. It's Jim Beekjai, and the podcast is Be You. What are we back to? Oh, my God. It's just unbelievable. I was just saying to Katie, my producer, that 6 out of 11 members of our family had the Omicron over the Christmas and New Year's holidays. I and my wife have managed to sidestep it, but even my first grandchild, Robbie, has caught it, but doesn't seem to be dampering his inspiration. He's down here with us in Florida with his mom and dad. I mean, so much news, so much happening, so much disruption. You know, tell you the truth, I don't even know where to begin. I've got so many things. You know, yesterday was Jan 6. Let's start with the bigger picture. Let's start with the global pandemic. Let's start with the Omicron. And let's start with, what does it mean for all of us? And the first thing I think I want to say is if you get it, don't blame people for getting it. And I understand people are mad about getting it, or, you know, unhappy about getting it. But unless you're going to put yourself in a box inside your house, not see anybody at all, go nowhere, do nothing else, you know, there's a pretty good probability you're going to get it. It's just actually quite surprising to me how many people are angry, like angry at the person they think they got it from, but you can't tell for sure whether you got it from that person because you've been out 100,000 times other than that, right? Get upset, get everything else about the situation, but let's have a kinder and gentler thought about people and recognize that, you know, it's not like people know they have it and then they're going out. That's a different story. But if people don't know they have it and you invited them to your house, or like, nobody's doing this intentionally. And so I know it's an inconvenience. I know it bugs people, but just chill out, you know, chillax a bit about it and just recognize that, you know, it is what it is. And we're in another phase. And I think the interesting thing for me is in this phase, and just a reminder to all my listeners, you know, we kind of left off last year talking about how to create more certainty in an uncertain world for yourself. And I want to sort of continue on that, thinking about that theme, that the sooner you can let go of the past, the sooner you can let go of the life that you thought you had before, the sooner you can start recognizing that I need to look forward, not back, in every aspect of our lives. And I know it's incredibly disruptive, but success comes from figuring out how to make disruption work for you. Don't be the victim of the disruption. We all sort of want to blame somebody or something, or, you know, I remember way back when I got fired twice, you know, well, the first time anyways, everybody, you know, that I met, went, well, you know, those guys at CIBC, they fired you, they're bad guys. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, I took that one on the chin myself. I said, you know what? I put myself into a position to be fired. Nobody fires anybody by accident. And the person being fired needs to take responsibility and ask themselves, why did I get fired? What did I do that put them in the position to fire me? Did I not perform? Was I an asshole? Did I, you know, not see the tea leaves changing? All kinds of stuff. You know, always going back to the same thing. We are responsible for ourselves, right? We are responsible. We're responsible for our actions, and our actions have consequences. They have consequences positively, and they have consequences negatively. We want to focus our attention on what are the actions that we can do that have a positive reinforcement to other people about ourselves, right? If you think of yourself as having an out-of-body experience and watching the videotape of yourself doing something, not how you see it, but how might somebody else see it, right? And I find that all the time, especially with someone as strong a personality as mine. I'm not always good at it, but I really do focus on it in advance and ask myself the question, if I had the out-of-body experience and I was listening to Jim Beekjai, I say something, what could I possibly think that it was other than what he's trying to tell me that it is? And I found over the last years that I followed that sort of philosophy that it really does give you a sense of pause. And don't send that email until you've had a little break. And ask yourself, or even give it to somebody else and sort of say, hey, I'm about to send this email. Tell me what you think it says. And then I can see if it matches what my message is and the point that I'm trying to get across. And when I started doing that about a year ago, I actually found that, not intentionally, but I wasn't getting my point across. And people could have easily misinterpreted what I was trying to say. And then, you know, I know all of you have been in this situation. You know, the thread starts getting pulled on the sweater, right? And they respond back and, you know, say, oh, you know, like, that's awfully surly of you. You go, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. You know, I was trying to, well, that's not how it came across. And then all of a sudden you're off the point and you're arguing about something that's completely irrelevant. You know, it's just completely irrelevant. So more on that along the same theme of try to be respectful and not just respectful in how you treat other people, but respectful to offer them the respect that you're going to actually think about how they might take what you're trying to say to them. It's really, really important. And it's probably the most important thing these days because everybody's on edge. Everybody's on edge. Everybody has their irritation meter on extremely high. And, you know, you can just see it in places and you can just hear it in places. And you see it in interactions, right? And people are trying to manage and, you know, poor moms and dads, kids, school, and you just don't want to send that note or you don't want to have that conversation that just puts the match on the gasoline. And then you go, whoa, that's not what I, no, sorry, it's not what I meant. And now you're backpedaling, you're doing everything else. And so it's good advice for both personal relationships. Everything's a personal relationship is what I believe. And it's great advice, especially at work, right? I know we're not going back to work for quite a while and we all need to prepare for that. We all need to think not sort of like this sucks, you know, I hate it. And how do we create socialization patterns? How do we, you know, my son-in-law said to me the other day, we were talking about the sort of next generation of Zoom, which will be probably, it's probably already here, Oculus glasses, where you put them on and you're actually in a room with people as opposed to it gives you that same sort of virtual reality feeling. That may be the next socialization level. One of my kids still isn't back to his office. So we need to look at every situation in the most positive opportunity view. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it's on the Zoom. Yeah, it's this. Yeah. Let's drop all the negativity about why it doesn't work, why it's not perfect, why it shouldn't be this. I wish it could be this and that. And let's think about how to make it better, right? What is it that we can do, right? Because at the end of the day, as I've said to all of you now, are we 2 years into this, Katie, or 1 year? What are we? 2 years into this. If we want different response from people about ourselves, we have to start with ourselves and figuring out how we want to respond to people. What do we want to put out in the universe? How do we want to do that? You know, I just had one of those situations. I'm down in Florida. I booked myself in for the 8 o'clock game. And this guy sends me a note and he said, do you mind if I join you? I said, no problem at all. And then he sends me a note and another note. And he said, somebody else is going to join us. I said, yes. Are you okay with that? And I said, well, it doesn't really matter whether I'm okay with it or not. You went ahead and said yes. And then he said, well, no, I could call the guy back and say no. And I said, no, because now I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to look like a dick because I'm the one that said no. And I said to him, listen, do me the courtesy. I don't know who you picked. I could have hated the guy, right? I played with him today. Lovely man. And the other guy was great, by the way, as well. But just that extra step of that courtesy, right? Like, don't say to someone, you know, I went ahead and did this. Are you okay with it, right? Stop and say to someone, are you okay with this before I go and do it? And you know me, I don't like feeling like the bad guy when I'm not the bad guy. But that's how those situations turn out, right? And they spin out of control very, very quickly. And he didn't do it, you know, with nefarious intentions or anything else. He just did it because he just did it. And then it's sort of, probably people are listening going, seriously, like, what does it matter? But it does matter. Because I want to play with people whose company I enjoy, right? I don't want to go out and spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours with someone that I don't particularly like or, you know, random. I play with lots of random players and stuff like that. It's just that, I guess it's just that courtesy, right? Let's raise the courtesy quotient. Let's think twice before we do something. What was that? Check once or check twice. Maybe it was math.
I think it's measure twice, cut once.
There you go. Measure twice, cut once. I am a terrible measure twice, cut once. I'm usually, okay, we got to figure out how to make this work now because I've cut on the wrong line. But measure twice, cut once. That's exactly it. So let's measure twice in our thoughts and cut once in our spoken word. We're going to have a couple of interesting people coming up. A friend of mine, Nick Coleman, is the founder of ShipSticks. And so if you're a golfer, you know about ShipSticks. They ship sticks all over the world. Nick is a friend of mine from down here in Florida. I play a lot of golf with him. He's a great guy. And I'm going to have him on the show to talk about how he founded ShipSticks. Because when you think about ShipSticks, you think, Jesus Christ, how did FedEx or UPS or any of these guys miss this opportunity, right? Because they didn't see themselves as an extension of anything other than doing the shipping. Huge mistake. Obviously, Nick's business took a big hit during the first round of COVID. And then it sort of crawled its way back. And now it's, you know, kind of getting a little shaky because what's going on? So Nick's going to be on the show. He's going to tell us about founding the business, about how draconian he had to be when the business hit the bricks, and how he sort of got it back out and his plans for that. We're also going to have Michelle Schemmelt on our show. I met Michelle years ago when she was at RBC, Royal Bank of Canada. I love these kinds of stories. She was looking for a solution that she could wear comfortably and invisibly under her clothes that would protect against perspiration and marks and everything else. And she realized there was nothing out there. And that's when she came up with the concept, NewMe, first product, a high-performance women's undershirt. And she left the finance world, and she has been at this thing. And she's just a force of nature. And I'm so excited to have her on the show at the end of this month. The last thing I want to talk about is maybe in the same sort of vein. You know, I watched a CNN poll the other day. It was actually quite frightening. It polled Republicans, it polled independents, and it polled Democrats. And Republicans, the question was asked, what percentage of people believe that it is right to take up arms against their government? 40% of the Republicans, and I was actually surprised it wasn't higher, of the Republicans positively responded to that question. But what was more concerning was another 40% of the independents responded that way, and 23% of the Democrats surveyed responded that way. There is a growing anger in the world. There is a growing lawlessness taking place all over the country. We're in a state, a mindset where nothing makes sense from any of that stuff. And people are becoming more and more polarized in their views about everything. And there is no such thing as, well, you know, Katie, that's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion. And that's my opinion. I'm entitled. We agree to disagree. That doesn't exist now. Everything is bifurcated to the polar extremes where it's not you're entitled to your opinion. You're wrong. This polarization is spilling over into people's lives. And I just want to encourage people to sort of just be mindful of it, right? Just accept that they don't agree with you. Just accept the fact that there's nothing you can say that's going to change their mind. There's nothing you can do. And it doesn't matter whether you think they're idiots or morons or right wing or left wing or no wing or every wing. It doesn't matter. Save your breath. Save your energy. Right? Step away from those conversations that, and I've seen some of them myself, that just, you know, in an instant, it's like a match to gasoline. They just flare up and people, it's almost regardless of age, just get insane, right? It's a bad reflection on yourself when you get that way and with other people. And going back to my New Year's resolution of dumping people that bring nothing to your party, like just avoid them. Just don't interact with them. And I know somebody will call me or somebody, well, you know, you can't avoid them all, but you can, right? You can avoid them by not engaging with them. That's their oxygen. It's not even a debate, right? They want to engage you, right? Take away their oxygen. Save your emotional state. Do it for you, right? Take a deep breath. Just leave them. And the last thing I want to talk about, and I've seen a couple of examples about this. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've got three, and I'm going to probably get my fourth one. But I do believe that companies and organizations do need to take the lead on this. And I do believe that companies and organizations need to tell people, you can't work here if you're not vaccinated. And if you have a medical reason to not be vaccinated, then that's fine, but you should test every day. And I think that we need to move ourselves more and more to what benefits the most amount of people the most amount of time. Not leave ourselves to be hostage to individuals who, you know, don't want to be vaccinated. I know somebody who, they don't have a policy. And if they'd had a policy, they could ask the question. They didn't ask the question. They ended up hiring a salesperson. That individual ended up having to be off for 2 weeks because they got COVID or Omicron and just started their job. And they're an anti-vaxxer. And they intentionally didn't tell this employer that they're an anti-vaxxer. And it's also my right, if I work in a company, to want to feel safe and taken care of with other people that share the same thing. I've said it before. You can't go to school without measles vaccination. You can't go to school without a smallpox vaccination. I watched this other thing the other day. You can't drive a car without a license. That's just the way it works. You can't. You can't travel without a passport. Why is this any different? How does this infringe upon anybody's right? Because it's a needle? It's okay. Don't get vaccinated. But then you shouldn't be allowed to go to restaurants, bars, movie theaters, gyms, or anything. That's what you want to do? Go for it. Live your life. I mean, think about all the people that are unvaccinated in hospitals taking up spaces for people that are vaccinated and got sick. Is that fair? I don't think so, but I'm not God and I'm not playing God in the hospitals. But if I had someone in my family that couldn't get in who is vaccinated and got sick, and the thing was filled with people who made the decision not to and are now soaking up all the time, I'd be pretty pissed. I know I would. So it's the new year. It's actually not the new you. It's the real you. And I want you to bring more of the you out. I want you to bring more of the you out. I want you to think about yourself more. I want you to think about the things that make you happy. I want you to think about the people that make you happy and why they make you happy. And how do I spend more time with those people? How do I spend less time with the people that don't make me happy? How do I spend less time with people that start their phone conversation with, I haven't heard from you in ages. Why don't you call me? I guess I just haven't had the desire to call you. That's the answer. That's the answer. It's not rude. It's true. So let's make 2022 the me year. More about me being you, right? Be you. The world will adjust. I want you to turn it up a big notch and ask yourself the question, what do I need to make me happy? What in my life is making me unhappy? And what can I do about it to change that? Whether it's dump a relationship, whether it's go work somewhere else, whatever it is, accept responsibility. It's all about us. The podcast is Be You. I'm so happy to be back. I'm looking at my smiling Katie on the other side of my screen. And we'll be back soon. Be You. The world will adjust.